This is going straight to the pool room.
Yeah, NBA Australia, Jesus, on a good one today. How you going? That's right, it's Friday, November 29, and I'm your host, James Clements, a slightly still sick James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes, apparently, for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to sling me that sweet, sweet booze money. And I'm here, Larry Armour Studios, giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Which is funny, because not going to do that today, because there was no fucking games. Crazy. Anyway, we're going to break down, wrap up every other little bit of NBA action for you while repping Australia. Just a little bit, mate. It's what we do. And it's Fuck It Friday. I mean, it's Thanksgiving in America, so we're going to give thanks with Yahoo Sports' Chris fucking Young. Love that. Talking the top five storylines of the season so far, and because it's Thanksgiving, we're going to give thanks for our 10 favourite teams. We're going to have a bit of yeah, nah for you, and we're also going to do all the picks for every game over the weekend. How's that all sound, everyone? Good? All right, good, just as well. We're going to close out with a brand new Cooking with Bainesy as he whips up a Thanksgiving feast as well, which is going to be awesome. So, let's just bloody well get to it, shall we? This is NBA Show episode 366. Let's go!
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Oh, you better! Oh, you better watch out for the attack of Chris Young. Chris, what's going on, man?
Mate, how are you? I am thrilled to be back. I'm loving it. It's Friday. It's nice and sunny. Let's get into it.
Nice one. It is Fuck It Friday. There's no games today because it's Thanksgiving, so there's football on at the moment. The Buffalo Bills just beat the Cowboys, which was crazy. So Jason Garrett's probably going to have to find a new job tomorrow. Yeah, that's pretty good. So today we have said a happy Thanksgiving to all the Americans out there listening. And also we've said, fuck it, it's Friday. Let's just do a show with some lists because there's no games to wrap up. We're like Kyrie, Chris. Oh, I'm hurt. Fuck it. I don't want to play my two old teams and the other team I spurned. So he's not playing tomorrow either. That's
what an interesting quirk of the schedule that was.
Yeah, weird, right? It's like, oh, my shoulder's a bit sore.
Poor Kyrie. He'll get out there soon.
Hopefully. I don't know. The Nets did win four straight without him, just saying. Anyway, so what have you been up
interesting.
To? What have you been up to, Chris, of late in terms of NBA action? What have you sort of been enjoying so far? We're going to do our five best storylines of the season, but, you know, what's been crossing your plate?
Well, honestly, I've been looking at the teams that have been kind of bad because I think there's some interesting bad teams out there that things are going to be different for, like in the next, year or two, things are going to really change for them. So one of the most interesting storylines I thought of to kick myself off here is the San Antonio Spurs. I'm worried about the San Antonio Spurs, James. I'm real worried about the Spurs. I don't think they're going to keep their playoff streak going this season. I think the West is too good.
Nice one.
What do you think?
I think that somewhere our Spurs correspondent Stav is going to be fucking furious, but I 100%.
I'll be blocked and reported by Stav.
I 100% agree, though. All right, so yeah, Spurs, Stav's going to hate you. It's pretty funny, but I 100% kind of agree with you as well because we're going to talk about like the teams that we're thankful for, and the Spurs are definitely not one of them. Holy shit. It is weird, right? Like if Tim Duncan sort of... I know. Do you reckon the stage is set for in a couple of years? Tim Duncan just takes over.
I think so. There's a reason they brought him back. He's a basketball legend. He's a top two player of the last 20 years, as far as I'm concerned. But it's a no brainer. He loves San Antonio. San Antonio loves him. He's going to have instant credibility with any player that walks through the door there. I think it'd be a great move. We'll see how it goes. They've got Becky Hammon on board, and they've got a really interesting, weird sort of coaching staff as well at the moment. So I think it would be quite exciting to find out how all that plays out.
So What do you reckon the big problems are with the Spurs, though? Like, I think Stav and I may have talked about this in our preseason preview of them, but my point was always that they seem like a little bit redundant. They've got a lot of combo guards that sort of do similar things, or they do one thing really well, but they don't sort of tend to do a, you know, ironically enough, a combination of things well enough to sort of really sort of solidify the point guard and the other backup guard spot behind DeMar, right? So you've got Patty, you've got Bryn, you've got Derek White, and I guess you've got DeJounte Murray. And DeJounte Murray should be the end goal for all of this. But they all seem a little bit too one-dimensional for my liking. And then obviously DeMar and LaMarcus Aldridge just not shooting threes ever is a bit of a fucking pain in the ass too.
It's interesting. I think the not shooting threes thing has always been a bit weird, especially with DeMar and LaMarcus. I know they tried to get LaMarcus doing it a couple of seasons ago, and he wasn't really feeling it. But I just think that the main problem is that they sort of don't know who they are at the moment. They've got a collection of veterans, of, you know, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus and all that sort of thing, who are still extremely good players. Like, they're flawed, yes, but extremely good. You know, find me a team that wouldn't see value in those players. That would be crazy. They're still good, but it's just, in what way do you use them? And I don't think the Spurs have figured out the best way to use everyone that they've got. And like you said, there is some crossover in there. They've got all these young guards that are really promising. Derek White, Forbes, DeJounte. They just haven't figured out the balance yet, I don't think.
Yeah.
And I think maybe a fresh face, some new thoughts. You know, there's been some trade rumors around DeMar that he knocked back yesterday. But, you know, he's an interesting trade target for sure. So I don't think the Spurs would want to give up the player that they got back for Kawhi Leonard. I don't think they would really enjoy doing that. But it's just interesting. You're in this really strange space at the moment. So I'm sort of keen to see how it shakes out for the rest of the year. I think all good things do have to come to an end, which is a shame, because the Spurs have been, you know, the best professional organization. They've been the most championship winning or whatever. They've won four in the last, you know, 20 years. But, you know, they've always been there. So it'll be interesting to see what will happen if Popovich leaves and if they make a few changes and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, five titles since 99? So 99, 3, 5, 7.
Yeah, 99.
14?
Mm.
Yeah. And
how crazy is it they won that 14 title?
It's fucking
Tim Duncan
still,
sort of playing, you know, 15 minutes a game and riding Manu Ginobili. It's just crazy. It's incredible that they did that in 2014. It was not that long ago. So hopefully that organization will find a way to retool and won't have to sort of go through some prolonged tanking. I think that would be very anti-Spursian.
I dig it. That's a really good point. Like, it's a really good storyline that sort of slipped under the radar a little bit just with all the other sort of craziness going on. So
it's not something you would watch, and I sort of don't really recommend watching the Spurs either, but it's just an interesting thing to note, I think.
Yeah, I love it. My top five best storylines so far of the season. Number five, I've got load management. Because, like, it's not my favorite. It's not a best one, but it's interesting because it's given old heads and fucking nerds shit to yell about, right? Like, while the fans are also kind of like, hey, man, I bought tickets and fucking Kawhi's not playing. This is bullshit. But it's also forced the NBA to sort of, fine Doc Rivers for contradicting them, which is always funny, and also come out multiple times and, like, clarify their stance on it, which is always a great sign for something working out really great, right? But I think it's also good because just the idea of load management makes us sort of think about all the extraneous other issues about stuff, like the length of the season, what players have to go through, what the potential middle ground solutions there might be. That's going to be one of my later favorite storylines as well. But it has been like a big one. Mm. It's not like a fun one, but it's kind of like an interesting idea of like looking at the NBA from a sort of perspective of like, all right, so how do we actually, do we need to fix this? Are they just bitching and moaning? Old heads are like, oh man, we used to play 82 all the time. It's like, yeah, but you also had fucking 9-year careers, you dickheads. Like, we want these guys playing for as long as possible, as good as possible. Like, and this is why, like, good arguments come out of it. So I've enjoyed that as a storyline because it is also like November. Like, you're going to have to argue about something. Load management might be it. So may as well be it. So why not? Fuck it.
Hell
so
yeah.
That's my number five.
And what is the NBA for? What is the NBA for if not for an entirely passionate argument about something that's probably not as big a deal as it actually is?
Exactly.
I think some of this is on fans. Fans do need to adjust their expectations. We ask, like, we ask a lot of players. They get compensated extremely well in return. Let's not forget that. But we do ask them a lot. If you didn't read it, there was a brilliant ESPN story, and geez, this is really shitty journalism for me because I've forgotten who written it. I'm not sure. I think it might have been Tim McMahon, who did this brilliant feature on sleep, NBA players' sleep. And a lot of the players that he spoke to in this story were talking about how it's not necessarily the amount of games that they're playing that's causing them issues, but the transit, the travel, constantly having to be on the move, never being at home, they're not getting sleep. And it's proving to be extremely damaging for them. So I've seen the NBA's been talking about lots of other weird little things, adjusting the schedule, play-in tournaments, that sort of thing. I can't talk about them because I haven't read enough into it yet. But I think that this load management thing is an opportunity for the NBA to kind of experiment with their schedule and find something that works for everyone. And they might even be able to address some of the other concerns around tanking and that sort of thing, because that's also making basketball sometimes not very interesting.
Yeah.
So I think it's exciting, and you're absolutely right. It is an interesting issue for sure.
Yeah, that was Baxter Holmes who wrote that sleep article. It's fucking awesome too, because like you don't
Baxter
realize.
Holmes. I am so sorry, Baxter.
it is wild. Like, it's a crazy issue where you sort of think about it, and you're like, you don't. Like, there was a moment, I think, was it maybe Detroit or somebody played on a back to back, got into Miami at like 5:30 in the morning, having played the night before, and just basically just went from the arena onto the plane and then got out at Miami, and it was just like, yeah, they're going to lose. Like, this is basically a schedule loss. Like, what the fuck are we doing
here? Yeah, we're also setting them up to sleep? Fail.
So, yeah. All right, so your next best storyline of the season so far, Chris, what do you got?
Dwight Howard, baby. Dwight Howard's back. He's good again. but I think... The reclamation projects, and I put Carmelo Anthony into this as well. I hope I haven't tread on your toes here, but I just think it's cool that the two guys who were sort of basket cases, and in Melo's case was out of the league for, you know, effectively an entire season, have found their way back into relevance and are playing great. I was so skeptical that Carmelo would work in Portland. I'm happy to have egg on my face. I think it's great. Portland are in a weird spot right now. So bugger it, you know, cheer for Melo. They've got a couple of wins now. So that's good GMing. And Dwight, you know, good for him. Turning it around. I think it's actually really important for him, well, for the Lakers, sorry, that he hasn't been a total pain in the ass. Can you imagine him on that team last year with like Beasley and friggin' Stevenson on it? The Lakers have made another big swing there, but this time it's actually worked. So that's been really interesting for me, seeing some of these guys get a second wind in their career.
I love it. Yeah, the Dwight thing has been like a nice little surprise, hasn't it? It's like, oh yeah, cool. He's not a fucking...
Well, Dwight's was probably like a seventh wind, but nonetheless.
Exactly. He worked his way around the entire, Southeast Division? Played for pretty much everybody.
Do you remember that thing he did... when he got signed by the Wizards, he had that like press conference and he did that really cringy thing where he was like, I spent 10 years learning magic. And then I went to, where did he go after that? Like Atlanta, where I learned to fly and was cracking on about all this bullshit. You haven't seen any of that. It's just him just buddy playing well. And that's good to see. Dwight Howard's a good basketball player. Weird dude, good basketball player. Happy to see him play basketball.
Yeah. And skinny Dwight, it's pretty weird, but look, they need another big body behind JaVale, at least next to JaVale, next to AD, and he's perfect. So good on him. I'm happy.
How weird is it seeing them roll out those JaVale AD lineups as well?
It's weird, and it's kind of
that it worked.
Kind of cool.
I can't believe it worked as well as it has.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, I mean, my fourth one. I'm just gonna fifth was load management. Four. I'm gonna stick on Lakers because LeBron and his washed king strawman dumb shit. Was like one of my most favorite ones because I don't know if I've been angrier about something in the, like something completely banal where it's like clearly just an athlete giving themselves some sort of motivation and it just fucking infuriated me because D-Wade's jumped on going, yeah, man, fucking everybody out there saying LeBron shit now. He's fucked. He's never going to win anything again. Fuck this guy. He's bad at basketball. It was all fake news. And everyone's like, what? That never happened. Like, no one said that he was washed. Everyone's like, he's fucking 36. Like, we've got different expectations. No one said he's bad at basketball now. And so I love this storyline. I also hated it because he's quite clearly like a lunatic giving himself some sort of motivation. I get that. It's like Trump saying liberals are trying to stop people from saying Thanksgiving and shit, just spinning shit out of nothing, right?
Oh, yeah, what the go with you? That was ridiculous.
Sort of, and then, you know, then you turn around and, like, start spouting fake news on other people. You're like, what? What? But you're the one who made it up. Fuck you. Ah, oh, come on. So I enjoyed that a lot. That was pretty fun. I don't know if you can tell how much I enjoyed
that. It's the latest example of LeBron's just intensely good ability to just direct the narrative around himself. It's something he learned over the course of his career, and he is the master at it. He's just too obvious this time.
Yeah, that was great. What's your next one?
My next one is the keeping with the bad teams theme. I have some good teams on my higher spots, but the whatever the hell is going on in Chicago, man. My son Lauri Markkanen is wasting away under Coach Jim Boylan, who looks like an egg. I'm not sure if I can say that as a professional, but nonetheless, the Bulls have sucked. The Bulls have sucked so much. It's only been like, you know, an insane 13 three-pointer performance from Zach LaVine that's kept them from sort of appearing to be even worse than they are. But there's just no, what the hell are they doing? Like the lineups they're putting out there, they're just not, they made some good moves. Thaddeus Young, not like a massive game changer by any stretch, but he's supposed to be a good veteran for that team. Thomas Satoransky, great little point guard to pick up. They've drafted Kobe White. That looks like it was a good pick. What the hell? They're supposed to be better. The East is so wide open. I'm pretty sure the Cavs are a couple of games under 500 and sitting in the seventh seed. It's depressing. I want the Bulls to be good so that someone will actually challenge the Bucks. That's what I want. Get rid of Boylan. Get him out of here. He needs to go. Get someone who knows what they're doing. For goodness sake, this is crazy.
I love it. It's like, it's pretty hard to be a really bad offensive team and a really bad defensive team, but Chicago are somehow doing it. And like they're middle of the road defensively, but this is in like Jim Boylan's entire thing of like, hey man, I'm going to mold these young players into young men and we're going to play awesome defense. And it's like, if you watch a Bulls game, you just want to punch yourself in the face. And clearly the players want to do the exact same thing. They're just like, what the fuck is this?
No one is having fun there. And it's just depressing. Because these guys should be fun. Lauri Markkanen, fun player. Zach LaVine, fun player. Are they great yet? No. But fun. And they should be a lot better than they are. And it just sucks to see the dregs of the Eastern Conference being as bad as they are. It's really bad. So hopefully they sort it out. Because they've got talent on that roster. They need to find a way to put it together. I think Boylan has a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah, I mean, they are, like, so their net rating, they're 23rd in net rating. And, like, this was, like, the year where you're like, all right, cool. So you've got your young dudes, you've got LaVine, you've got Lowry, you've got Wendell, you've got a couple of vets when you bring in Sato and Young, as you said, and it just hasn't fucking
Wendell Carter.
Worked. So, yeah, kills me. Kills me.
Remember when Wendell Carter shot three?
Exactly. What the fuck is going
on?
Boylan, Jesus, kills me. My third.
The Bucks should just give Robin Lopez back.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. He'd actually be like, I don't know, he'd fucking help Chicago. He's not doing much on the Bucks.
Put Wendell on the Bucks. Hello.
Yeah. My third favorite storyline in the season so far is a very easy one and a very simple one and a very obvious one for old NBA Strayer over here. It's Ben Simmons threes. Ah, yes. I mean, what's not to love? What a story.
Oh, yes. Here we go. This is where I make my money, baby. All right.
I mean,
what do you got?
What a story. Just like, just the simple fact of him hitting 1-3. Basically, you know, pulled a Kardashian and broke the fucking internet. Speaking of pulling Kardashians, I mean, that's what Simo does. But the idea of like him just shooting threes has completely discombobulated everybody when they're just like, wait. Does he want to do it? Can he do it? And he hits one. Everyone loses their mind. That's great. And we all happily skip over the missed three that he had the other day where it's like, Ben, there was 6 seconds left on that clock and you've shot it from about two-thirds of the way down the fucking court and missed the hoop by about 8 feet. I'm not entirely convinced that was good. Hits an amazing turnaround jumper in yesterday's game against Sacramento and then does the same move and misses the basket. So, I don't know. Ben Simmons threes. It's one of my favorite storylines just because it's fucking great. Like, it's the gift that keeps on giving, right? It's like,
it's such a confusing thing, isn't it? You know what I reckon he should do in the offseason is just come back to Melbourne, spend some time tooling around as fill in various, like, suburban basketball leagues,
and just jack them up. Just get them up. That's what I do. Everyone on my team hates me, but just do it anyway. Who cares? Just shoot. You're Ben Simmons. Just shoot the damn ball. You can do it. He can do it. That corner three, that was clean. That was a clean swish. And that form looked good. So just do it. Get a Nike sponsorship. Go for it.
I love it. Yeah, he just rock up to like Narry Warren gym somewhere and just be like, all right, hey, fellas, I got next. And I was like, fucking exactly. Hell. It's Big Simo. Jesus. Who's your next one? What's your next one? Was it last two? Here we go. We've got two more.
All right. Let's get to some good teams now. Miami. They've been surprisingly good, and they haven't even really needed to rely on Jimmy Butler. They've been doing it by committee. I think they're a very interesting team. I don't think they're still not quite on the level of Philly and Milwaukee, but geez, I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs because they've just got a lot of dudes who are very good. Jimmy Butler's Jimmy Butler's great in the playoffs. Dragic has been there. They've got some nice little vets around there, but they've also got Bam friggin' Adebayo. We need to talk about this dude more. He's up there as far as I'm concerned as most improved. He's a fantastic player. I would love to have him on the team. Get some more buzz around Bam. That's what I'm asking for. He's great. Sensational player. The Heat are looking very frisky. And yeah, I'd be nervously checking over my shoulder if I was the Bucks and the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, they are. It's similar to Dallas, right? In the respect where they're just full. Like, and I'm going to talk about Dallas extensively, literally next. But they've just got a lot of dudes who can play on that roster, right? It goes deep and you're like, All right, there's a couple of tough dudes. There's dudes that they can throw in there. And this year they've just added like Kendrick Lamar Nunn. You're like, all right, that's cool. And he's just fucking dropping 17 points a game. Cool. On you, Kendrick.
Yeah, what a find.
And just that's what the fucking Heat do over and over.
They just have a base level of competency. They may not have the high peaks of stardom on their roster, but they're floor is going to let them win a lot of games. They're just going to easily beat a lot of shitty teams. No muss, no fuss. By the time they get to the playoffs, it's a Pat Riley team. They're not to be messed with, you know. And Spoelstra is being forgotten about as a good coach as well, Eric Spoelstra. So, yeah, keep an eye on the Heat. Heat fans, two thumbs up.
Love it. Yeah, Bam Adebayo as well. Like, we don't actually talk about basketball fantasy as much as we probably should here on NBA Australia, but I very smartly have Bam on my on my team. Shout out to the Ball League. And
nice.
He is a fucking monster. I love Bam Adebayo. And
He's great. And he just seems like a cool dude as well. Like you listen to the way he talks in interviews, that sort of thing. He's a very likable guy. Great, great player. I've got high hopes for him. So, yeah, good luck, Miami.
Nice one. My number two is Luka Mania. This has been fucking great fun. The dude's 20. He's averaging 30, 10, and basically 10. 30 points. It's like 30.1 points at the moment, 10 rebounds on the dot, and 9.5 assists a game, which is just like, what the fucking fuck, man? He's entertaining as shit to watch. He's 20. He's dropping 30, 10, and 10. Oh, but we didn't see him do it against, like, West Virginia, so we didn't know if he was going to be good in the NBA.
We didn't get to see him in the NCAA tournament. Therefore, Luka's bad. Yeah. Nah, egg on very many faces. But how good is that, though? Friggin' Luka. Oh, it's incredible to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've hated about this sort of side fact of this is that people are kind of like, hey, man, he plays just the same as James Harden, but you shit on him. I'm like, what? There's like a... No, that's not. Like, yeah, there's a lot of threes and there's a lot of free throws, but there's also like a really strange weirdness and Rain Man kind of like savant-like quality to some of the that Luka does, right? It's like 40 toothpicks.
Yeah.
Pass the ball to Zinger, 40 toothpicks. Like, it's weird. There's something just fucking weird when you watch him. Like, anything could happen at any moment in time. Like, he's not dribbling the ball as much as fucking Harden does. You're not just sitting there watching Harden dribble out past the three-point line, sizing everybody up, everyone clearing out. Rick Carlisle actually runs a fucking offense. Yeah, so Luka is just entertaining as shit, and I've loved every second of his year so far.
It's brilliant. Here's the thing, though. I think the Harden comparisons have some meat to them. It's not a direct comparison at all, right? But they're doing the same thing in just different ways, and that's a byproduct of the roster construction that each of them are using, all sorts of things. But there is just a lovely jerkiness to Luka's game. Although that said, I'm not buying the MVP discussions for Luka just yet. I think that's pretty wild. But the Mavs are fun. The Mavs are the biggest winners of the last few years. That Luka trade and the Porzingis trade, are you kidding me? Porzingis will come good. It's his first year back from an ACL. Just give him time. He's 7 feet tall, for goodness sake. Like, just give him a break. He's still playing okay. Not great, but okay. He'll get there. The Mavs are fun. Luke is amazing. Absolutely great call for number two.
Nice one. What's your final favorite storyline of the season so far, Chris?
Number one, the MVP.
Ooh.
It's Giannis. Giannis has not regressed. Giannis missed about a week or two of Chris Middleton, and he just went Thanos. He just said, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm going to have a 50-piece, dropping triple-doubles. He doesn't do it in the same way that Luka and Harden do their triple-doubles. He doesn't do it as frequently. I think that's part of just the Bucks' whole thing. He's not in the same position as they are. But Jesus Christ, Giannis is just fucking amazing. Giannis doesn't get talked about. You know who was Eastern Conference Player of the Week last week?
Spencer Dinwiddie, right?
It was Spencer fucking Dinwiddie. I love Spencer Dinwiddie, but you're going to tell me that Giannis can drop a 50-burger and then somehow still not get Eastern Conference Player of the Week. They went 4-0 without Chris Middleton. Whoa! I know they can't give it to him every week, but Jesus Christ, the Eastern Conference is fucked as long as Giannis is in there. I'm so excited. It's still... You'd think it would get old by now, but it doesn't. He just destroys people. It's like if Shaq had started at like the friggin' three-point line every time. I'm going to rave about Giannis for days. It's so much fun. Just watch Bucks games. Watch Bucks games and tweet about Giannis and say he's the MVP. Everyone, please do that because he is. Giannis is the MVP favorite right now, and I don't want to hear anything else.
What do you reckon? I love it. He's averaging, 31.1 points. So I just raved about Luka. So he's at 30. Giannis is at 31.1 and 13.7 rebounds and 6.2 assists. And just averaging like 1.5 blocks and 1.5 steals. Like, get the fuck out of here. It's absolutely bananas.
Who does that?
Literally nobody.
You know what I mean? It's insane. I think he's the most unique player in the league. There is no one who does the range of things like he does, because there's elements of every great player in the league right now in his game. And he's shooting threes now. He's hitting threes. It's crazy. His form looks a bit better. He's not doing that weird little stutter step he always used to do before he shot one. It looked like bloody Bambi out there beyond the 3-point line. You could just tell he wanted to run in there. Now he's looking a bit more confident. He's got his sea legs under him. Let's go. Once he starts hitting that at 35%, league fuck.
I love it. He is he's taking 4.7 threes a game as well, which is pretty fucking crazy.
Doesn't even matter that he's missing most of them. It just doesn't. The guys will close out on him still.
I love it. That's a great one. The MVP, he has been fucking unreal. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later in the top 10 favorite teams as well. But he's been unreal. Yeah. It's awesome. And finally, I guess for my number one, I kind of want to like combine, it's almost two of them basically. Because I was kind of split between the rookie class and then one of my least favorite storylines, but it's also my favorite because it sort of relates to the first one I talked about, load management, and that's TV ratings, right? So it's this weird combo. Bear with me here, Chris. Ooh. Just bear with me because the idea of like the rookie class is fucking amazing, right? Even without Zion so far. And I feel like it's been very underplayed. And this really rolls into this idea about TV ratings and stories to do with that shit because I don't know, maybe TV ratings are fucking down because all the fucking media partners of the NBA, all they do is concentrate almost blindly on LeBron and LeBron adjacent dumb shit while also having, and this is one of my favorite fucking perches, like having commentators and analysts who constantly do nothing but shit on the current state of the game while not celebrating how fucking crazy good it is at the moment, how much talent is out there in the league right now. Maybe that's got something to do with TV ratings being down just a little bit. And so with that in mind as well, like you've got commentators shitting on it, but there's also a rookie class like that's absolutely fucking unreal. And they obviously front loaded this schedule with a shit ton of Pelicans games. Zion's out, suddenly the fucking, like, I don't know, sky's falling. But Ja Morant's been amazing. RJ Barrett's been really good. DeAndre Hunter has been okay. He's had some really good moments, at least for Atlanta. Reddish has been shit. He's had like one good game, but Darius Garland's been kind of shitty, but he's only played 5 fucking games in college. And I love that John Beilein, though, is just like, it doesn't matter, man. He's a rookie. I'm going to give him loads of rope. He's going to learn. He'll be fine. Kobe White's been fucking phenomenal. He's got great hair, drops 30 and hits 6 threes or goes 3 of 13. That's what he does. Jarrett Culver is actually starting now in Minnesota because they've put Al Jefe Teague on the bench. And it's a deep rookie class as well, right? Like Jackson Hayes has been playing awesome, been playing more than you'd expect. Brandon Clark's been playing heaps. Rui, Japanese Jordan, Hachimura's been out there crushing it. Tyler, there goes my hero. Like, he's been unstoppable. And you've got PJ Washington Hamilton. That's my new name for PJ Washington is PJ Hamilton, apparently. And Cam Johnson, he's been good. And, like, I don't know, Boston took fucking Romeo Langford, like, ahead of, like, Nicky Alexander-Walker, Brandon Clark. But they also got Grant Williams, so, you like, whatever. Then there's, like, Eric Paschal down there in the second round. Jordan Poole for the Warriors. He's on pace to be the worst shooter in NBA history. But the thing is, there's a shit ton of weird talent in this rookie class, and you've got, like, TV people just, like, concentrating fucking endlessly about Anthony Davis, LeBron, whatever. And you're like, that's fine. That's good. But I don't know. Maybe fucking just look at how good the talent is in the NBA right fucking now and just be happy with that and, like, celebrate it and talk about that fucking breadth of talent. Because, like, you go back 10 years, 15 years, just see who was playing. Like, who was the seventh man on, like, the Mavs in, like, 2011, let alone, like, who was the fucking bench unit of, like, the 2007 Spurs? You want to fucking gouge your eyes out. Like, try to sit through a fucking game from 2007. I just fucking dare you. Like, the fact that we've got loads of morons out
it's
there.
It's weird,
like,
hey? Yeah. It looks like a completely different game.
It's crazy. So when people bemoan the fact that there's lots of scoring, oh, too many threes. It's too many threes. Like, that's ignoring the fact that the opposite is just shitty, shitty basketball, and also the reason why there was unwatchable finals series in the mid-thousands and people went away from the game in fucking droves. So, I don't know, man. So this has been, like, a really, obviously a broad broad scope of a favorite storyline, but I'm talking about. But the TV ratings sort of then that leads into the idea of load management and...
But they're all connected. Exactly. They're all connected. That's the thing.
And then that gives you lead into the idea of the mid-season tournament, the playoff playing games, the conference finals reseeding that everyone's talking about now, which is awesome because it's a way to keep people engaged during a long-ass season, which is really good. But even thinking about this, like TV ratings, I personally don't give a fuck. Like people who worry about that, like it doesn't impact you personally. Like you'll still be able to watch NBA games. You can still go to NBA games. What matters, obviously, is how much networks want to pay for it. And I'm kind of like, right, so the NFL gets great, giant, big ratings. But at the same time, like, what sort of cultural cut-through does it really have? Whereas, like, the NBA really, really does, right? You got India, China just starting to really give a fuck about the NBA. You got more superstars in the NBA than ever. Basically, all the famous sports people in America are pretty much NBA players. It's weird. So if I was a smart tech company or somebody, like, I don't know, Amazon, whatever. Just, if you were willing to buy the entire fucking rights package, a couple billion, if you're Amazon, you're just like, fuck it. How about we buy the NBA, show every game live through Amazon Prime?
Oh, God.
And then...
Screw Jeff Bezos, though.
And then you'll just...
Get him out of here.
Exactly. Yahoo, why not? And then, like, you could just... you can sell games...
I
didn't
even thought about that.
But then you can, like, spin off and, like, sell games to ABC, ESPN, TNT, whatever, if you want. But... Like, the popularity is fucking massive, and people just want an easy way to watch as much as they possibly can. League Pass has always been a bit of a pain in the ass. All the money goes directly to the NBA anyway. So, I don't know. So, TV ratings, I think it's like this weird storyline that leads into a lot of different other shit, which is really fun, but also, obviously, incorporates this rookie class and all the superstars.
They can't worry about the ratings. The league has never been bigger. It's never been bigger. And it's just big in a different way. And they've correctly diverged from the NFL. You know, the NFL is really, they've loosened up in the last few years, but they originally really cracked down on highlights being shared on social media. The NBA went the complete opposite direction and looked at the benefits. I couldn't agree more. Everyone just needs to chill out about the ratings and let these guys just be good. And if you are sick of seeing LeBron on telly and all that sort of thing, yeah, get League Pass, watch a Grizzlies game. Ja Morant is fun as hell. All these guys are fun. Watch a weird team. Just do it. It's so much. You will enjoy so much more, and you'll learn from it as well. I couldn't agree more. It's a great take.
Fuck yeah. I've got two little honorable mentions as well. One, Andrew Wiggins is good now. That's pretty weird. And obviously the one that you mentioned, Carmelo, he's back, which is awesome and weird. And I don't know how to
feel
about
baby.
Him, good on him. Nice one. All right, we'll take a break and then we'll come back with the top, you know, top 10 thanks, giving thanks for these top 10 teams. And we'll do some yeah nahs and then some picks. It'll be fun as shit. Right after, let's say, this one.
This is Mitch Creek and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, and back. This is fun as shit. We're still here with Chris. This is unreal. Chris, going to do top 10 teams that you're thankful for this year so far. We're giving thanks. I think I just posted a little bit earlier today.
Yes, we are.
I posted this idea of one of my favorite things in America was being asked if we had Thanksgiving in Australia. Yeah, we don't.
Regrettably, no.
Because, the pilgrims didn't also then sail to Australia and meet the Native Americans. You fucking idiot Americans. Jesus
no.
Christ.
No.
Anyway.
No, we've got our own problems.
Exactly. Yeah, we've got our very own interesting fucking past.
We've got our own history. Anyway.
Yeah. All
moving
right,
on.
So where do you want to start? Do you want to start at 1 and go through 10, or do you want to start at 10 and go through 1, Chris?
Ooh, that's tough. I say we build up. You've got to love a good build up.
Yeah.
So why don't we start at 10?
All right. There we go. Number 10 for you.
Or do you want to do it the other way? Number 10 for me. Today I will give thanks for the Charlotte Hornets.
Ooh.
Who have been good. They've been hot and cold. Strange thing to watch. I'm thankful for Devontae Graham. Good for him, man. Completely outplayed Terry Rozier in the first half of the season. First half. It hasn't been half. It's fucking November. What am I talking about? Anyway, he's outplayed Terry Rozier so far. The Hornets have been weird. We knew they were going to be bad. They haven't been as bad as we thought. Good for them. Hopefully that's good. They've found one in Devontae Graham, and kudos to them for that. So I'm thankful for Devontae.
I love it. I had them on my missing the cut just because they've been very, very fun. They're also one of the weirdest teams to pick like day in, day out, because they could either randomly
they're
keep up.
They're completely unpredictable. It's
exactly.
Brilliant.
They just beat Detroit yesterday. But otherwise, sometimes they'll get blown out. Sometimes they'll keep up with teams. It's fucking weird. It's crazy. I love it. Mm. So good on you. Because I thought they were going to be historically bad. And they haven't been, so good on them.
Yeah.
They've almost hit my wins total for them, so that's great. Shows you how much I know. Number 10 for me, I am thankful for the Rockets, because it has been a very weird Rockets watching experience so far this year, because for all the talk about, we're best mates between Rusty and James Harden, they don't really play like it, but it's also been like weird to see Rusty forced into a different role completely. So that's been kind of fun. And also, obviously, Harden makes everyone really mad while he scores 42 points. So it's pretty great. It's pretty fun. It's like not a great entertaining watch every time you watch the Rockets, but there's enough there to keep you engaged and go, oh shit, like anything could happen basically in a Rockets game. They could be down 25, come back and win it. They could blow a lead because they don't bother to play any defense. Rusty could take the game-winning three while Harden's on the court, which is always funny, and airball it. There's lots of good stuff. So I'm really thankful for the Rockets just for the chaos
Russ.
Engine. So.
Poor Russ.
Nice one.
You know what's funny is that Russ hasn't been stealing Clint Capella's rebound. So good for Clint.
I love that. It's like Steven Adams is going to be fucking furious about that. So,
wouldn't he?
I could have been averaging 12 rebounds a game for the last 5 years, but Rusty's been stealing them all. Hey, this is bullshit.
So we've been staring down the barrel of a contract extension.
Nice one. Number nine. Number nine for
Steven
you,
Adams. You're still very good. It's okay.
Yeah.
Number nine, I'm thankful for the Boston Celtics. As much as I hate to admit it, because I hate the Boston Celtics, it's nice to see them be good. Even with Hayward getting injured again, that sucks. But I tell you what, it's been good to see Jaylen Brown step up. Kemba Walker has been Kemba Walker, and thank God he's fine after that thing the other day where Semi Ojeleye, he clattered straight into him. That was a bit, that was nasty looking, but no worries. Have a couple of games off. And then what did he drop? 39 yesterday or something.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. The Celtics are just fun again. And that's good for the NBA. And it's certainly good for the Eastern Conference. They need a good
the Boston Celtics just need to be good for the Eastern Conference to be watchable.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm thankful for that.
Checks out. They're going to pop up again on my list, so that works. Nine, I've got the Pelicans because they're just fucking weird. Like Giroux, Spindles Ingram, JJ. Like they're just favors, like when he actually plays in a surprise twist. They're just kind of weird and a bit of a spoiler sometimes. Like they'll play really hard against some of the better teams and then sometimes they'll just like not show up. It's very weird. It's very fun. I'm sure it's very infuriating to be a fan. And also just watching Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball thrive away from LA is really fun. So I love the Pelicans. And I'm thankful that Spindles and Lonzo and Josh Hart got away from LA and hanging out in New Orleans. I love it. That's good.
I couldn't agree more. And Miran Fader from Bleacher Report did a really, really interesting feature on Brandon Ingram that you should check out. I'm super happy for Brandon Ingram. He's had a weird start to his career, but he's very good. And hopefully, yeah, Zion will come back and the Pelicans will continue to improve. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Nice one. Number eight for you then, Chris.
Number eight, I see we've got a lot of teams here, so it's getting kind of tough. I'm hoping I'm not sort of going the early crow on some of these, but I'm thankful for the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves have looked kind of rejuvenated under son of Flip, Ryan Saunders. Haven't sort of really won enough yet, which is a bit disappointing, but Wiggins has looked good. Cat has looked insanely good and got in that big dust up with Embiid. That's always funny to watch. The Timberwolves, I just hope they keep improving and keep figuring it out. You mentioned Culver before. I think there's some spark here with the Timberwolves. Hopefully they find a way to put it together, but they haven't been too bad to watch to start the season, so I'm thankful for them.
Yeah, they got off to like a weirdly fast start because they pulled out like a weird Brooklyn win out of their ass and then played like Charlotte and Atlanta or something really early and then had like a little bit of a swoon but then sort of managed to settle the boat a bit. So good on them. That didn't make my list. That was good that we got to at least mention that Kat is fucking balling and so is Wigo. So that's pretty cool. Number eight, I had the Suns until Bangers got hurt. They were awesome. Oh. Rubio, Oubre, Frank the Tank. It was great fun. And then Bangers goes out and then suddenly the Suns are shit again. So I might split them with hate watching the Nets and Bulls. two of the single most infuriating teams you could ever watch. Like two teams that have like, they could be up 42 and you would not trust them to win the game. Mm. Like it is fucking crazy. So number eight is my morass of like bizarre teams of Bangers and the Suns, which are awesome fun. And then the Nets and the Bulls who are just, it's fun to watch them because I hate them just so, so fucking much. And it's just infuriating. So there you go. That's number eight for me. Number seven for you, Chris.
Number seven, I'm sticking with the Eastern Conference. Well, actually, no, I'm going back to the Eastern Conference, I should say. I'm thankful for the Toronto Raptors, whom I still hate for defeating my Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. But they've been very, very good. The Raptors, I don't think, were a flash in the pan with Kawhi last year. I think they've got something really good going there. Van Vliet's been going off, but it's been Pascal Siakam, who I love. Pascal is this really interesting, herky-jerky, long guy who does a lot of similar stuff to Giannis, but sort of in a different way that's kind of hard to explain. And they're just a fun team to watch. They're a good team, a competent team. They could beat every team in the league. And so I'm thankful for that. They're a fun team to watch. They've been balling out. They'll get Kyle. And they're still 13-4 with Kyle Lowry out. So get him back in action and they're a real team. Yeah. So, I'm thankful for the Raptors.
Yeah, I had them missing the cut because they were really fun when Lowry and Ibaka were healthy as well. And like the fact that they keep winning without those dudes is still fucking crazy, but it's also a lot tougher to watch them. So
they've got this weird bunch of guys that just keep making weird plays. Like Rondé Hollis-Jefferson is playing really well now. They've got Matt Thomas. They've got this strange collection of bench guys that Nick Nurse has pulled through the G League. And then they're great. They're really good. Good on them.
Nice one. Seven for me is Utah. They're just a weirdly mixed sort of balanced team who I feel like I've watched a strangely large amount of. Conley's been weirdly shit. Donovan Mitchell has sort of been pretty fucking good, but then still has like those Donovan Mitchell games where you're like, yeah, he scored 26 points on 24 shots. Kobe. And you've got Bojan next to Jingles. So you've got the Bo Jingles sort of wing duo sometimes. You've got Rudy Gobert, the Stifle Tower. They're just a weird, strange team a lot of the times that tends to get into like fascinatingly fun games like the Milwaukee game where Bojan, sorry, Chris, where where Bojan dropped one on top of on top of the Bucks for the game winner, and it was awesome. So, yeah.
Jazz, who were they?
Yeah. No. It's tough.
No, right? that was a fun game. Because that was the Miami game that Giannis set to overtime by putting back a Middleton air ball.
Yeah.
That was weird. Anyway, no, but those two Jazz Bucks games were really good. I'd go back and watch both of those if you're bored today looking for some basketball to watch.
Yeah, I think I even mentioned that it'd be like one of the most fascinating and like least watched finals in NBA history.
Oh God, yeah.
great for basketball nerds and for nobody else. Number six for you.
Number six for me is the Denver Nuggets, who I thought were going a lot worse than they are. And then I looked at the standings yesterday and they're 13-3. Jokic is still good, guys. Everyone freaked out about Jokic at the start of the year. Jokic is still good. Jamal Murray, still good. Mike Malone, still a good coach. I am really excited to see Denver go up against like the Lakers, the Clippers, these big Western Conference teams at the end of the season and just see what happens. I think they could really throw a spanner into the works. They're a great team. Jokic is just the most interesting superstar I think we have. He and Giannis are probably the two most unique players in the league just because of what they do and how nobody else really does it. And they do, you know, they're superstars in radically different ways. The Nuggets are always a fun team, and, you know, Denver's a cool place. So good for the Nuggets.
Yeah. I had them missing the cut as well because it was the exact same approach you had where you're like, I feel like I've watched a bit of the Nuggets, and the fact that they're 13-3 blows my mind because they haven't actually been that good, which is fucking crazy. So, yeah, it's weird.
But that's what good teams should do. Good for them.
Exactly. Number six for me is, sorry, Chris, the Bucks. Giannis is amazing to watch.
Not good enough.
He is amazing. And he's the reason they're up there in the top 10, obviously. The rest of the team, I'm just kind of like, sure. Like Middleton.
It's a weird team, isn't it?
It is. It's a really weird team. And it's like a little bit too much George Hill and Ersan Ilyasova for my liking. And, of course, I've got a lot of history of Brook Lopez.
George Hill is good.
Yeah.
George Hill is good. And Ersan, come on, Turkish Thunder, he's the number one charge taker.
Bledsoe putting
on
Bledsoe shows.
Dante DiVincenzo. Dante's been really good.
The Big Ragu.
I'm a fan. The Big Ragu. Most inexplicable nickname. Dante's great. I just want him to dunk more. Because dude can get up. So, that's a good call. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. It's just like, it's a weird, like all the other parts around Giannis and Middleton, and even Middleton, like he's not, obviously, and this has been very, very well documented throughout the years, that it's like Middleton, who? He's not like a player who inspires terror in oppositions or like, you know, envy and lust in like supporters.
Celtics fans, shout out to them.
True. That's why it's kind of like six. The Bucks are amazing and it's purely just because of Giannis, but like they're just a really good team and that's obvious every time you watch them. Just the rest of it's just a weird sort of mix. So, but at least there's six, so that's pretty good. Number five for you, Chris.
Number five, the Memphis Grizzlies, but mostly only because of Ja Morant.
Hey.
The record isn't great. They knew it wasn't going to be great. That's fine. Just let Ja cook. That's what they've been doing. They've given him a bit of rest here and there, whatever. But when he's played, he's looked like the real deal. I really hope it carries on in the years to come. He just seems like a fun guy. He seems like a young man who's just got it together. He's got a good attitude towards it all. I think he will fit really well in Memphis. He's just got this really spicy, electric game that's really fun to watch, and he's made some tough plays early on as well. That's good to see. So I'm thankful for Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies.
Love it. That's a good one because they're really good in small doses. When you actually watch a full game and they just like crap the bed for the entire third quarter, you're like, oh geez, this is rough. But watching Ja and Triple J and they've got Brandon Clark, don't they? Yeah. Just doing some weird cool shit. You're like, this is fun. Dylan Brooks, he might go might go spare and score 30, or he might go 0-13. You never know. Number five for me, this was a weird combo. I considered having OKC in here and then wanted to take them completely off. And then I'm like, but also Boston are really fun to watch. I'm like, fuck it. I'll have OKC and Boston. Cause they're just a weird sort of dichotomy between the two. Like, Boston are clearly just like having gotten through the real rebuilding phase and seemingly have a new identity. And you can sort of see OKC going, We need to get the fucking rid of Chris Paul so we can build our identity around Shai Redick-Gilgeous-Alexander and go from there. And it's like this weird mix. OKC games, like if you want to watch only, you know, three quarters of a Memphis game, you might only want to watch half of an OKC game. The thing is, it might be the second half because they might be really fucking good and push a really good team to the very brink, or they might just get blown out. Who knows? That's really fun. But Boston, as you said, are like wildly entertaining, which is not a phrase you really could have used, I guess, much when it came to Boston.
Yeah, not last year. It was a bit of a hate watch last year, wasn't it?
So Kemba in place of Kyrie, the double J's have taken a step up, obviously, after a bit of World Cup action, I think. And but the way they play is really fun, much more fun than it has been. And they just need a big dude. The fact that they traded Aaron Bangers Baines means I'm going to hate them forever. But, you know,
can you imagine if they still had him? Even if they lost, even after losing Horford, if they still had Baines, they'd be a real threat.
Fuck yeah. Number four for you, Chris.
Number four is the Mavs. For me, much like we were saying earlier, just for Luka, the Luka show. They've got some just cool bits. They've got some cool players around him, like some of these role players. They've got Dorian Finney-Smith has been playing well. Tim Hardaway Jr. has his moments, but obviously it's the Luka show. Rick Carlisle's done a really good job of making all that work as well as it has so far. And they're hovering above 500 here, 11-6. Yep. Let's see if they can keep it up, keep pace with Houston, and maybe jump the Texas rivals.
Love it. It's a good call. I've got them still coming up. So four, I've got the Lakers just because, I mean, you mentioned Thanos before, right? They're just fucking inevitable. It's like AD, LeBron.
Yep.
The rest of this weird roster, then, you know, the notorious KCP will pop up every so often and do something weird and dumb and amazing. And you're like, what the fuck? God damn it. Danny Green will do the same sort of shit. But it's just way more fun than last year's team. Like LeBron is engaged and that's fun to watch. So that's pretty great. And that's why I've got them there. So yeah, pretty easy for me to have them in the top five, even though fuck the Lakers is my usual approach to the Lakers. But I can't deny that they're not fun as shit to watch.
No, exactly. How can you?
Nice one. Next one for you.
Well, let's stay in LA. I'm thankful for the Clippers, who are fun to watch, very much so, but sort of in a different way. It's been great to see Paul George come back. He's still just deadly. Kawhi, I just love watching Kawhi. There's just a control. He's always in control, and it's just really compelling to watch. But then, yeah, you got sort of other stuff like Lou Williams, Pat Beverly, Montrezl Harrell. These guys are all great players and probably underpaid in some cases as well, certainly for Montrezl Harrell. So, the Clippers have been great. Good for them.
Yeah, love it. I might as well just jump in the Clippers there because I had them at two, but I'm just going to move them to three now anyway. Fuck it. Because there are just like, they're really fun, right? Like there's so many permutations of what they can do. There's PG, there's Kawhi. There's Doc doing crazy shit. You've got Sweet Lou and Trez running that amazing high pick and roll. Like they've also got those amazing new Grand Theft Auto Los Angeles jerseys. Like,
yeah, those are actually sick.
It's really
cool. I could never wear one, but they look sick.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get away
with it. Imagine me, pasty redhead, repping that down the street. That would look ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I need like more face tattoos, I think, if I'm going to rep one of those. I also like about the Clippers, like the squid, he'll be sitting there. I'll be like watching basketball. He'll be like happily fucking banging on his like xylophone or some shit. And he's like, and then he sees Chuck the cunt condor come on. And he's like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, yes. And he loves it. So that's pretty cool. As opposed to the most, what was it? The terrifying pelican and also the other Chuck the condor they had before that as well. So at least the Clippers, they've hit a happy middle ground seemingly with entertaining 11-month-olds. So that's pretty cool. But, yeah, they've been really fun. They've sort of weathered the Kawhi in and out and Paul George coming back with new shoulders apparently. So they're really good. They're really, really good, and it's really fun to watch them just because speaking of weird shit that can happen, it can always happen during a Clippers game. And I can't wait to see how like people try to fucking score on them in the playoffs. So. Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be so hard.
Number two for you.
Number two for me is the Philadelphia 76ers. They haven't quite put it all together yet, but, I mean, any team with Joel Embiid in it is going to be fun. That being said, I have my concerns. I think they kind of need to figure some stuff out very quickly. If they haven't really, if they're not sort of in the top three
in the Eastern Conference, like firmly entrenched in there by Christmas. I've got some questions to ask of Philly, but like it's always going to be tough for them, but they're still fun. They're still fun. Josh Richardson's been good. He was a good pickup. He's worked, I think. Simmons, just shoot more, brother. You can do it. And Embiid, hit the gym, mate. But they're just amazing. They're amazing guys. Hopefully Tobias Harris figures it out a bit more as well. But, yeah, I think the Clippers, Jesus Christ, the Sixers are still really good. And they'll only get better. I don't think they're anywhere near their ceiling at the moment. And they've still been very good.
I love it. That's great. And I feel like... So they're my number one. So my number two is Dallas. If only because, like, I enjoy trumpeting the fact that I, not so much that I caught it, but I'm just like, yo, don't fucking forget that Kristaps Porzingis is fucking good. Like, he hasn't played in, like, almost 2 years. If he stays healthy, him and Luka are going to be fucking great, and it's going to be really fun. And how many games in are we? Like, 15, 16, 17? And they are really fun. And really great, and it's awesome. And Luka can drop 40, 15, and 15 on your head. KP is still just weird and awesome. Rowdy Brockoff's on the team as well sometimes. Actually out there in
uniform. Get him on their court.
Exactly. Hashtag free Rowdy. So Dallas, the thing is, like, they just sort of lack that. Like Tim Hardaway, the lesser, is kind of meant to be that third scorer for them, and he's just shit. So they do, but they go really deep. In just quality NBA players. I mentioned that about Miami as well. It's really good because during the regular season, it's really handy. You can just throw bodies out there. And if you've got enough top quality shit as well, you'll win a lot of games. But they just sort of lack just that one other dude who can sort of pop a little bit more. So, but they are really, 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 really entertaining because of that, I think. Because it sort of forces them to have to lean on Luka to do some cool shit. So that's good. So yeah, that's why I've got Dallas at number two. Wicked.
Couldn't agree more.
Number one for you, Chris. What do you reckon?
Well, my heart just wants to go into another rant about the Milwaukee Bucks, who would be my number one, but I think that's a cop out. Everyone knows I'm a big Bucks fan, so I'm going to go the complete opposite direction. I'm thankful for the Knicks, mostly because it's just funny to see them constantly put their foot in their mouth somehow. there was that weird press conference that they did. Saying that we thought we were going to be better than we are and we're really sorry. Then they felt the need to send a press release out after Richard Jefferson joked about being signed by them while he's on air for the Nets. Like, just what the hell are you doing? It doesn't make any sense. It's just glorious to watch it unfold. The only thing I don't feel happy about is I just want RJ Barrett's been much better than I thought he was going to be in the early stage of the season. I just hope that the Knicks realize that RJ is very good and just get their shit together, for God's sake. It doesn't even matter if they're a bad team. Just get the front office sorted, because at the moment they're a joke. And I like jokes. They're funny. They make me laugh. And I'm thankful for that. But for RJ Barrett's sake, get Dolan out of there, for God's sake. Yeah. But anyway, I am thankful for the Knicks. They're very funny. They're very bad. And always put a smile on my face. So go Knicks.
That's it. They are the gift that keeps on giving. And if the gift is, a turd in the box, then hey, that's it. That's the Knicks. They do like give you a happy baseline of complete incompetence. So you can always judge yourself against like, so what should we do? Oh, whatever the Knicks would do, we don't do that. There we go.
Don't do that.
It's amazing.
Only one team that didn't send someone over to Greece to scout Giannis, the New York Knicks.
Amazing. My favorite team so far this year is Philly, and I'm so thankful for them because night in, night out, there's always something going on with them, right? Like Simmons could hit a three, Embiid might start a fight. Al Horford might be on one. He might not be. Might not be playing. Who fucking knows? Matisse Thybulle might paint a fucking masterpiece. Josh Richardson might be playing. There's just like lots of weird sort of aspects of Philly. Mike Scott might be doing cool shit. Jonah Bolden might be like actually on the court. Who knows? Probably not.
Yeah, he exists.
Exactly. But there's just like lots of cool shit and it's very fun and it's weird. And like every time you watch a Philly game, their defense could be incredible. It could like completely annihilate a team like Miami out of nowhere. And once their offense actually clicks, or it could be like a night where the offense doesn't click and they suck and have to rely on like, pulling one out of their ass against someone like the Knicks. You know, it's fucking weird. So that's why they're a really fun team, and that's why I'm thankful for them. So there you go.
Couldn't agree more.
Checks out.
It's almost like they're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole sometimes, but it's still fun to watch.
Exactly. Nice one. All right. Quick yeah, nah. Chris, what do you reckon? I feel like we should do that.
Just, hell yeah. Polish, I'll give it a yeah.
Finish it all off with a yeah, nah, and then some picks. So number one, Kyrie should just chill the fuck out. What do you reckon? Yeah, nah.
I mean, yeah, I think Kyrie, I still don't know what to really make of it all. I think Kyrie's just trying to figure out his place in the world, and that's actually quite relatable in a sense, but at the same time, it's sort of like, yeah, but you are like a multi-millionaire international celebrity basketball player. So sometimes you sort of think, it's okay, things for you are okay, but yeah, relax, Kyrie, you're very good. Things will come to you in your own time. Just get healthy, get on the court, let your game do the talking because it talks very loudly and very eloquently. Yeah, he'll be okay, but yeah, he does need a chill.
Yeah, I mean, I said it on yesterday's show, it's like, that's fine, and if he's dealing with, like, you know, problems in life, we can all relate, we get that. And if he's, you know, got any sort of mental health problems as well, obviously, more power to him, hope it all gets sorted out. At the same time, mental health problems, that's all well and good. You don't have to be a cockhead as well sometimes. You know, you don't have to put out a giant screed on Instagram, like blaming fans for being fans and shit and berating them. So I don't know.
I sympathize to a certain extent with Kyrie. Like, I love getting into the debates about players and where they should go and that sort of thing. But like, when you're going to the effort of plastering images of Kyrie's face around Boston and calling him a coward,
yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, very, very funny, good burn, but like, what are you really achieving there? Yeah. You know, like, just beat the Nets. Yeah. That's your satisfaction. The Nets. You're Boston. You're very good.
Yeah, you can chant. Boo! I don't know about the coward posters.
Yeah,
boo
the shit out of them. Boo Anthony Davis. Boo whoever. But just, you know, you can not like people without being like a wanker about it at the same time. Exactly. So I think there's a bit of blame to be had on all sides here.
Yeah.
God damn, just boo Kyrie and get over it. Like, you know, you it shouldn't be this big of a deal as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. Having Carmelo Anthony will help the Blazers actually get back into playoff contention, Chris. Yeah, nah.
Come on. I'm glad that it's working out, but it's just he can't defend at the level that is going to be required to hoist Portland out of the lottery. I think Portland, it's hard because they made the friggin' Western Conference Finals last year. They're an amazing team. But then they've made these sort of strange moves on the offseason. I think they're just punting. They know that Lillard's going to stay. Lillard's already said as much. I think with that in mind, it's easier for them to say, hey, look, we're going to trade for Whiteside just to clear up some cap room, but we're going to have to, you know, sit through a pretty shitty year. I think Bane likes it in Portland. He's fine with it. He knows that he's good. Hopefully they can retool next year and go bigger and better. And it's good that in the meantime, they've been able to create this great story with Melo. Yeah. I don't think they're going to playoffs. No, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm fascinated to see how the rest of this experiment goes. Final yeah, nah. Ben Simmons will hit another three this season, Chris. Yeah, nah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yes. Yeah. He has to. Yes, he will. Surely he will. It would be like the ultimate tease if he just hit that one and then didn't take it for the rest of the season. It would be such a troll. And part of me would respect that too. No, he will. He will definitely hit a three. There'll be a half-court buzzer beater in there somewhere, I'm sure.
Sure. Dig it. All right, let's do some picks for the weekend. I think we've got the... there we go. We've got the picks music sort of playing. That's cool. Right. So how about we look at the odds for tomorrow's games as well? And see how we go. And then they don't do odds for the rest of the weekend, so we'll just pick them straight up. So Nets at Celtics. Nets are 3.5-point underdogs at home. I think I like the Celtics to come into Brooklyn and kick the shit out of the Nets.
I would also take the Celtics. I think they're starting to figure things out. Brad Stevens is good again. Who knew?
Turns out he's okay. Your favorite, Charlotte Hornets, are in Detroit, and they're 8-point underdogs, which I like Charlotte. I think they'll keep up with Charlotte, Detroit.
Charlotte in Detroit. That's tough. I'll go Detroit just because it's at home and Blake Griffin's back. I don't know. what does anyone know anything about the Pistons? They're irrelevant at the moment. But Pistons will win that, surely. But you never know.
Yeah, I just I feel like the Pistons will win, but I can't see them beating the shit out of the Hornets by more than eight. So I'll take the eight.
No, it'll be a close game. The home court.
Raptors, Orlando, Raptors 3-point favorites. I think the Raptors would kick the shit out of Orlando. So Raptors, I'll take the Raptors. Dig it. Sixers at Knicks. Sixers are 7.5-point favorites on the road in New York. This was a 1-point game last week. So I don't know. Who fucking knows with the Philly favorites? It's fucking crazy. But I don't know. I'll take the Sixers, I think, -7.5.
Sixers, definitely. It depends on what side of the bed each of these teams roll out on, doesn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, the Knicks could just shit the bed and score like 79, or they could keep it up and obviously nearly beat them. Bucks at Cavs. Your Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland Bucks. This is what, 10.5-point favorites against the Cavs.
Yeah, now you'll take that. You'll take the Bucks to win that. You never know with the Cavs. But no, the Bucks will defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers for sure. Yeah, that's my lock of the week.
I'm going to
take in of the week.
I'm going to take the Bucks to. Did you just slam your giant shoe down on the counter? I've got the Bucks -10.5. I'll take that. I think the Cavs will be a little bit slow. They just got absolutely shit pumped yesterday. So I think the Bucks will do the same here. Hawks at Pacers.
I hope they can do that.
Yeah, the Cavs, look, I hope they bounce back. But the Pacers are hosting the Hawks. 10.5-point favorites are the Pacers. I feel like that's too many. I'll take the Hawks +10.5, but the Pacers will win that.
It is too many, but I think the Hawks have struggled of late, which is not really all that fun to see. So they're good for Jabari Parker. Jabari Parker's been balling, and I've got a soft spot for Jabari Parker. So good for him. Hope he figures out still how to play defense, but he's getting there. But, yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Nice. Warriors at Heat, and the G League Warriors are 12.5-point underdogs on the road in Miami. That's a weird one. I don't know. I kind of feel like they tend to cover. So I'll take the Warriors +12.5, but I feel like the Miami Heat will probably still win it by only probably about eight. So
yeah, Heat definitely win that. But yeah, the margin could be really anything with the Warriors, couldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yesterday.
You just never know. Yesterday, and that's great. Good for them. They had a good win the other day. Hopefully they keep it up.
Yeah. I mean, the Heat aren't the Bulls. Pelicans at Thunder. Thunder are 4-point favorites at home. I don't know. That's a weird one too. I think this might be one of those games. The Pelicans are weird. They're bizarre. Who knows what they can do? They played the Lakers basically to a standstill yesterday. The Thunder are similar, but also just got shit pumped. I feel like I'm going to take the Pelicans. I feel like they're just maybe figuring some shit out. So I'll take them +4.
I was about to say exactly that. I don't know why. I don't know how they managed to lose that Lakers game, but they should have won it. Drew Holiday has been absolutely balling lately, which is good. He had a bit of a slow start to the season, but he's been going mental last few weeks. So Pelicans for me.
Nice. Jazz at Grizzlies. Your Memphis Grizzlies there, Chris.
My Memphis Grizzlies.
I'll take the Jazz -7. The Grizz are good, but the Jazz have got a very good defense, which I don't think the Grizz will be able to get on top of to the tune of, 7 points.
I think Jazz's introduction to the French rejection will be a painful one, I suspect. But that's good for Jar. He needs he needs his game. So I agree, though, Jazz all day.
Nice. Clippers Spurs. This would have been fun, but the Spurs suck, so it's a tough one. But this is also like one of those weird games where
it's fun, but actually,
yeah, it's like Thanksgiving though. All day. Who knows? I'll take the Clippers. I think -6. Mavericks at Suns. 1.5-point favorites in the Mavericks at Phoenix. I'll take that in a fucking heartbeat. I think the Suns have just lost their way a little bit.
The Suns are flickering at the moment. Is Rubio back yet? I don't think so. Is he still out? The Baines is out for a bit longer.
I think Rubio came back.
They need those two guys.
Rubio was back last game. He was on like a minute restriction, and Bangers, who knows about his hip contusion. So I'm still going to take the Mavs anyway, -1.5.
Do you reckon he's got a hip contusion, or were they freaked out by how good they were and they thought they were tanking, so they had to...
Well, this was a moment on Outback Takehouse this week where the NBA put in a call to the Suns and went, right, you can't play Bangers anymore because you're too good.
Everybody's afraid. We don't want him playing that much. You need to sit him.
This is a 2002 level conspiracy.
Shit, yeah. Bulls, Blazers. Blazers are favourites by 7.5 at home.
Yeah, you take that.
I just never know with the, what is this, the Tyus Thomas, LaMarcus Aldridge Bowl. They just played like just recently as well. Like, holy shit. Who knows?
Oh, my God.
Mallow just dropped.
That's a great one.
Mallow just dropped, what, 19 on them as well the other day? So,
yep.
Who knows? Oh, fuck it. I'll take the Blazers.
I think Portland they haven't figured things out, but they're a clearly better team than Chicago. They're just a mess.
Yep.
So, yeah, Portland for me.
Nice one. Lazers, our last one for tomorrow is Lakers hosting the Wizards. Lakers 11-point favorites. That's a lot. Holy shit.
That is, because the Wizards have got like the second best offense somehow.
Yeah.
Which is wild. They've had like two or three 140-point games, and I don't think that's going to happen against the Lakers. I think the Lakers are a bit harder to score against than some of these other teams. Lakers for me.
Nice one. Fly through the rest of them. We'll just do head-to-heads. Denver at Sacramento on Sunday. I'll take Denver.
Denver. I wish Fox wasn't injured. That's a shame. Yeah. But Denver.
Philly hosting Indy.
Well, I'll take a swing on Indy because you never know with Philly. And Indy have been perky when they haven't had guys hurt. Jeremy Lamb's back now. Brogdon's back. They should be good.
Nice one. Atlanta at Houston. I'm going to take Houston.
Yeah, definitely Houston. Atlanta are in a bit of a weird space.
Charlotte at Milwaukee, your boys. That'd be Milwaukee.
Nah, I'm sorry to send the Hornets packing, but that'll be a big win for the Bucks.
Your two favorite teams, Chris. And then finally, Monday's slate. What do we got? Jesus Christ, we've got nine more. Miami at Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn will win that randomly.
That's at Brooklyn, you said, sorry?
Yeah.
No, I'll go Miami. I think that could be a big road win for them. That would be an important win. I think they would set themselves for that game. So I'll take Miami.
Nice one. I've got Minnesota at Memphis. I'll take Minnesota there. That should be no problems, I think.
That'll be a good game. Minnesota for me, but that'll be fun to watch.
Boston go to the New York Knickerbockers of New York City.
I will take the Boston Celtics.
Me too. Dallas at Lakers. That is going to be an absolute fucking ripper of a game. Holy
that'll
shit.
That'll be a fun game. That'll be a very good game. That's a must watch. Lakers. I'll take the Lakers. I don't think Dallas has enough defensively yet to slow down the thing.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm just going to go with Dallas because fuck the Lakers.
I got it. Washed King, he says. So,
Washed King, yeah. that's 8 a.m. on Monday. So, up and check that one out. OKC at New Orleans. I'm going to take the Pelicans in that one.
Yeah, Pelicans at home.
Spurs, Detroit. 2007 finals rematch. Yeah. Wait, no, 2004. Fuck, what am I thinking?
2004. God, Jesus Christ. What a weird... That's funny you should say that, isn't it? The finals rematch between those two teams.
Ugh.
That is tough too, isn't it? I'll take the Spurs.
Yeah. Toronto host Utah. These are some fucking great games on Monday. Holy shit.
Yeah, Monday's a good day of basketball. Toronto hosting Utah. I will take Toronto. The Air Canada Centre is a massive home court advantage for Team Toronto.
I'm going to take the Jazz. I feel like they might have like a bit of a statement win.
Yeah, that's what it is. That'll be a good game. That's a really tough one to pick.
Shit, yeah. Golden State travel to Orlando. Maybe get in a bit of Disney World while they're down there. The old G League Warriors. It's like a work trip.
Why not? Orlando would be weird. Hey, good on Markel Fultz. He's getting there. Orlando, though.
Yeah. No Vooch for Orlando. Who knows? So, but I think they'll still be good enough to beat Golden State. And finally,
it's definitely a winnable game for the Warriors.
It is. The Warriors might, you know, Orlando just a sneaky, not good sometimes, obviously.
Draymond has been killing my fantasy team. I'm furious about this.
Gross.
Speaking of load management, anyway.
Finally, Clippers hosting the Wizards. I'm just going to take the Clippers. That's a pretty easy one. But the Washington Wizards.
Yep.
As you pointed out, one of the highest offensive ratings in the NBA. It'll at least be fun.
Yeah, they can score. They're worth a watch every now and then. If you want to cleanse your palate, if you've been watching too much LeBron or whatever, give the Wizards a look. They're fun. They're weird. They don't do a whole lot of anything else, but they score.
I love it. Awesome. Holy shit. Chris, that's it. We've done it. We've done it. That is
the we end
of the show. Holy crap. Thanks heaps for coming on. This has been fucking awesome.
Hell yeah, man. You too. It's been fucking great.
Awesome. All right. Well, just remember everybody else. We're going to close off with a real quick cooking with Bainesy today, which is going to be funny. Just make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG, all that good shit. We're all over the socials all the time. Check us a rating review, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your fucking Android phone. Who knows what the shit they are. But rate and review. It helps out heaps. Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Chris is a big fan of From Oslo, but he also really loves their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. And From Oslo do the intro and outro song for NBA Australia, day in, day out. Also, big thanks to... You would have heard Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes on NBA Australia today. So give them a smash on Triple J on Earth, Bandcamp, Facey. Support them the way they support us. NBA Australia only supports Australian bands. That's what we do. And there you go. Chris, go read his shit on Yahoo. Follow him on Twitter. What is it? Chris Young J, is that right?
Yeah, that's me. The J is for journalist, but you know, you can make your own mind up about that.
That sounds great. Legendary, thanks for coming on again, man. You're a now officially a recurring guest of NBA Australia.
I've made it. I'm big time.
Legendary, and this has been Fuck It Friday. This has been NBA Australia. We'll catch you on Monday, you dickheads. Later, Hosen.
Cooking with Bainesy's filmed in front of a live studio audience.
And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Oh, yep. G'day, g'day. Yep. Look, no actual TV show for you today because I'm just going to tell you, go to me, bloody IG account. That's Instagram. That's what cool people call Instagram. And I'll tell you what, I fired up an absolute rip snorter of a Thanksgiving feast. I did. It was a happy Thanksgiving turkey free day. That's right. I had me Rectech grill out there. Chucked a bit of lamb on there. So here's a bit of a list of what I cooked up for you. Lamb shoulder, lamb neck, pork belly, Brussels and bacon, potato bake, slaw, buttercorn, Brussels and onion, roast veg, some bloody pickles, and you can see me camera work just looking at all of them. Oh, look at them. They're just bloody delicious. Look at those plates. They are absolutely fucking fantastic, I'll tell you that much. Best bit is, you then finish that all off with a bit of dessert. I've got pumpkin pie, I've got apple crumble, I've got pecan pie, I've got custard tart, and a bit of brown sugar whipped bloody cream. How is that, mate? Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be able to move for about a day and a half after this one. This will probably knock everybody else into a bloody coma, you know what I'm saying? So there you go. Go check out my Instagram story. You can go see what I've cooked up for everybody for Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you next time on Cooking with Bainesy.